Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. My special guest tonight is Veronica Entwistle, our own Veronica from BBS Radio. Welcome to my show.
Thanks, Valerie. I'm glad to get on your show, too. It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really fun. And we are taking callers. So anyone that wants to call in and voice your opinion or your experiences or have Veronica's expertise applied, you are welcome to do so.
Well, maybe we can put our heads together and transform the universe here.
Well, that's my plan.
Great. I'm up for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of funny that we have decided tonight to talk about the different modalities of healing that we each do and how we relate to the collective whole. Because I'm finding that we're doing that more and more. Have you found that, Veronica?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
you mean relating to the collective? Or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, much more so than before. I mean, so many of us were just kind of out in limbo there by ourselves for so many years.
It felt very isolated for a long time.
Yeah.
It's now, we're sending huge waves, or maybe they start off very small, but they go through the collective. A lot more easily now, and I think that's the product of the speed up of frequencies, you know?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I find that, you know, I've been talking with more and more people about the whole community idea,
mm-hmm.
and I've been invited to be part of several communities, and I keep telling people I have no idea where I'm going to be when, you know, but I know that wherever it is going to be right and proper, and I'm seeing that so many of us are coming together as a healing community, and we're kind of like ganging up on people, you know. Like I've got a patient right now that's in from far out of town, and we're working on her. There's, you know, four to six of us at any one time working on this one person, and the reason we're doing it that way is because we all have these talents and abilities that together make a much more cohesive whole.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start talking about the whole community and all of us kind of getting together in a healing consortium, you know, whether it's conscious or unconscious, I'm feeling so much more power coming to bear. It's like parting the Red Seas was nothing. You know, we're really going to do some incredible stuff.
And actually, and you say you don't know where you're going to be, I think it's very interesting that the way you work, the way I work, the way many of us work, you don't really have to be anywhere, but the community is in consciousness, intention, and vibration, isn't it?
Yes.
And I'm up for that. Did you ever read the book called, I think it was called The Dancing Woman or something, and what it was a team of Yaqui dreaming women, and they used to all dream at night, and they'd come up with a common dream, and then they'd work with that.
Hmm.
It was wonderful.
I hadn't read that, but it kind of reminds me of some Cherokee friends of mine. We were doing this women's full moon water ceremony, which was really powerful. And then we were all separated by moves. And so we started doing a fire meditation. Because, you know, in the olden days, they used to span long distances by basically speaking into flame. And it acted as a speaker. And so, you know, when you have
speaking
the right...
Speaking into the fire itself, and then that would carry fire?
Yeah.
Well, we got a full moon in Leo right in front of our window right now, so let's just do it. Maybe that's what we're doing, huh?
Yeah, let's wake everybody up. It's like, bring, time to wake up. So, yeah, I mean, there's all this stuff that's coming together, and people are ready. You know, I'm hearing more people say, you know, I'm really ready right now to step into whatever it is I'm supposed to do. And they have no idea, you know, so they're searching more actively than ever before, that I've noticed anyway.
Well, I think it's so imperative right now for people to get into who they really are anyway. I think that's where the power and the authenticity radiates, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what is it? Hmm?
What have you been noticing lately with the readings and such that you've been doing? What seems to be happening with people from your viewpoint?
All right. Well, I feel this, that more people that I'm working with are conscious. It's almost like very extreme. They're conscious of bringing in a lot more light. And then I work in the body, as you know, kind of like a medical intuitive. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be very conscious and in pain where their constrictions are. And very often it moves faster than ever before.
Now, and that's really interesting.
Yeah, and the light they're trying to bring in is much more easily incorporated if we can break through those you know, the obstructions in their energy field that come from, I think they come as much from the collective and the history of this species as anything.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, because we all seem to have the same kinds of blocks going on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why more people are searching right now in order to move forward. They think they're working on themselves, but maybe we're all working as a collective.
Well, how can you separate, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if we want to work the collective, it's always about working on ourselves, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. It's something I try to understand more and more. I was reading a little article that was in CNN, I think, talking about how many, many people are going onto the web to learn about depression and how to work with depression in themselves or what are the symptoms and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And this media writing stuff finally came to this conclusion that yesterday was the most depressing day in this year or this world or something. I didn't read it really firmly, except that I did remember while I was reading it, I went, oh yeah, isn't that the way that the you read that and you kind of get more depressed, you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? It was such an impacting kind of statement. And I went, wow, that's pretty interesting. That's a lot about us thinking and feeling with the collective, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's real interesting, too, given what the stocks have been doing. I mean, I haven't been following that, but I've had 3 people in the last 48 hours tell me about how the stocks have fallen worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And every single market has fallen because of the U.S. being in a recession. And I thought, now, if that isn't a good example of the collective and how tightly connected we are, I don't know what is. You know, because when you talk money, I mean, that's kind of like everybody's bottom line. You know, the world goes around with money. So
nothing is disconnected. It's like the Internet. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting to see these kinds of things happening. And I know that a lot of us have felt it. This last year has been just horrendous for the pocketbook for so many light workers and other people, too. But, I mean, I think the light workers are far more sensitive to it because, you know, so many have done without for most of their lives, and we're counting on having their funds coming in now, you know. And according to the charts of myself and, gosh, so many people that I know, it's right there. It's like, you know, oh, you're going to have money beyond belief. And it's like, okay, this is pretty much beyond belief.
But don't you think it's kind of the birth canal right now? Don't you think it's kind of
yeah.
a narrow passage?
Exactly. That's what I was getting at, because I think that what's happening is the transition that we're going into is so incredible. And when you start seeing all these people lining up, there's a veritable bottleneck of light workers lining up and going through and you know, trying to widen the canal too at the same time. And you know, the people that have pushed through before, they're already on the other side going, yeah, come on over on this side, because it's absolutely incredible and it's instant manifestation and things like that. And I've heard more and more stories of this, of course, because, you know, I'm traveling around with the quantum vortex and such. But I mean, I've had people tell me, you know, since I did that and really started opening up to the other realms and you know, dimensions and everything, and really opening that part of myself to miracles, they've told me, you know, all of a sudden, weird things are happening. Like, we had one lady that said, you know, I couldn't find my keys, and she said, I was so frustrated, I just yelled out, I need my keys now. And she said, the keys flew out of the air right in front of me, just went pop and smacked down on top of her feet. She went, oh, my God.
Well, let's start yelling. I'm up for that.
Yeah. And I thought, now, isn't that interesting? Now, I just found something the other day that I swore that I had left in Laguna Beach. And I was insistent because I remembered that. And finally, I got so irate, I said, I need that back now. And I found it in a bag that I had looked through I don't know how many times. All that was in that bag was 2 pairs of shoes in a regular old, you know, shopping sack.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked through that bag and emptied that bag out I don't know how many times. And all of a sudden, this thing was in the bag. And I went, now, isn't that interesting? Because the only thing that I had that was still together from that time was that bag. Everything else had been separated out.
And tell me that, Valerie. Isn't it so, then? That's a kind of a manifestation. That's
uh-huh.
what we're trying to do with other things, isn't it?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you start getting these little weird things, and I went through this thing with my cell phone yesterday. I mean, I had it with me, and I had just used it, and I went out in the car. I could not find that thing anywhere, and I thought, well, it's black, you know, and my bag's black, and everything's black, and, you know, and so you get things lost, you know, between the computer and the computer pieces and everything else, and I dumped everything out, and I looked and looked, and I retraced my steps probably 7 times. Didn't find it. I was finally so frustrated, I said, I need my cell phone now. All of a sudden, there it is in the car seat where I had looked. Many times, and the car seat is not black. And I went, you know, I would have had to have been sitting on it, and believe me, I would have felt it.
So how can you explain that? How do you explain it?
I have no explanation for it other than to say that that time of miracles is here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the manifestations are here, and I think what's happening with a lot of people that are, you know, heaving the big sigh and saying that they just want to be to where everything's working the way it's supposed to. They just want to be on the other side, you know, and be through all this nonsense and everything. These are the same people that are having these things happen too and going, oh, well, I just must have, you know, misplaced it, or, oh, I just must have, you know, misremembered it or something. And so I think what's happening is the manifestations are here, but it's our belief systems that have to change.
Well, isn't it so that... I go into something very practical and functional like energy. The fields are changing a lot, right? And aren't we harmonizing our thoughts and our intentions with these fields, almost like corralling them and really pushing into the collective? Because we're still struggling with the old paradigm, which says you can't have it if you haven't done thus and so, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I heard, I think it was Lazarus, I keep hearing these dates, which I don't necessarily believe, but I just put them out anyway. Like 2008, 2009 is kind of the gateway. That's when things change, and that's when more of us will manifest in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, and I feel it too. And like I have felt something big coming on now for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask me what I think is going to happen. I have, you know, an equal number of people tell me it's going to be something really terrible and horrendous. And an equal number of people tell me that, no, it's going to be miraculous.
And my guides keep talking about how it will be as if there are two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really reach one world. And Bob was telling me, my partner was telling me that, I think it was Lazarus that said that the people in one world will know about the other world, but the other world won't know about these people.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel this very odd thing of I don't really understand what it means to have two worlds.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means to have two worlds like that. However, because it's very metaphorical and it's very vibrational, but I do believe that we're parting from a paradigm and we're actually living in partially into a new paradigm. And it does seem that the financial, which is very third dimensional in a way,
mm-hmm.
is a little bit harder to grasp in the more etheric paradigm. Do you understand what I mean?
I do, totally.
Yeah, and I don't like to say, oh, it's harder.
It's not so much that it's harder, it's just different. It's like the old stuff doesn't work anymore.
Well, and it's in the old paradigm.
Yeah.
And that's where we're trying to get the security of finances and so on, at the same time as trying to step out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's resources that are going to come to us differently.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I also feel like I don't belong here, and I'm not there yet. And it's like, okay, what do we do in the meantime?
What are you doing? Are you traveling around and doing your wonderful work in various places?
I was doing that. I'm back in Sedona now, and we're getting ready to do a West Coast trip. So we're scheduling. So if anybody out there wants to schedule, give me a holler.
What's the West Coast trip?
Well, we're probably going to go to San Diego first and then to L.A., and then we may go to Las Vegas and then come back to Sedona. And then when it warms up a little, then we'll do San Diego, L.A. again, and go up to San Francisco and probably Portland, Oregon, or Asheville. And then up to Washington State, up by you.
Good. And, come out and visit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's our plan.
And
right now, the weather...
your vortex, the quantum vortex on the road.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're doing. We're bringing the quantum vortex with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's been really interesting because, you know, what I noticed when I came back to Sedona is that I don't live here anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, now isn't that interesting? I looked at Madeline and I said, do you feel this weird stuff? And she said, yeah, I feel like I don't belong here anymore. I said, I know, isn't that odd? And then we started talking about it and said, well, you know, really, we're supposed to be on the road because the whole point right now is to get as many people really hooked up in our collective consciousness of higher dimensional stuff. And I think that's why so many of us have kind of lost our moorings as to the old life.
It's like
and we're wandering around.
Acupuncture through the collective.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so there's all this stuff going on where you kind of have to go, you know, I'm in total trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've never really had much of a schedule anyway. So, you know, for me it's kind of easier to do it that way than it is to have to do a 9-to-5 job and you know, run around and have everything scheduled.
So that's out of the question anyway.
Yeah. So
you're a dimensional migrator.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And so for me, it's much better to be in the now. And I think that's the big struggle that most people are having. Because if you turn on the TV, all you hear about is, you know, death, destruction, and the end of the world as we know it, especially with finances.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep telling people, quit watching TV if your mindset is such that you can't block that stuff out and realize that it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you think it's real, it's going to be real. It's going to trap you there in the third dimension. So it's more important, I think, to, you know, edge out more towards the edge of the fourth dimension so that you've got, like, one toe hanging in the third dimension. Most of you is in the fourth dimension, and one leg's in the fifth dimension. You know, so you're really ready to make that instantaneous slide as soon as it's appropriate. Anyway, that's what I think about it.
Well, I'm just watching going, yeah, I think that the people that I've been working with don't have the command of those dimensional links, but I do see this, is that as we're bringing through, we're able to bring through much higher fields than ever before,
mm-hmm.
and people are moving very, very fast. They're absolutely excited about, and I don't know many people who are traveling around right now, a few, but mm-hmm. mostly I know, I seem to, at this point in my life, know people who are a little bit more stable, and yet they're moving inside way faster than mm-hmm. I remember ever before.
Hmm.
And that's very exciting. You know. That's
yeah,
just
see,
the kind of people I see right now.
Yeah, see, most of the people that I'm seeing right now are traveling here from other states.
Hmm.
And I've kind of hooked up with some more people here, and we'll be doing things a little bit differently than I have been as far as what I do while I'm in town. But I'm seeing that people are really starting to get their communities together. I've heard, I don't know how many people saying, yeah, I'm going to go buy 160 acres with this group, and we're going to, you know, start our little collective thing of you know, self-sustenance on the land. And I've never seen the amount of people professing this like I have now. And it's not that they're in fear. These are not people that are saying, oh, you know, everything's going to go down the tubes and there's going to be a tax and all this stuff. They're not saying that. What they're saying is, I can't live in this world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, I have to go away from the rest of the world that wants to stay stuck in this third dimension. I have to be away from that. I have to be with like-minded people.
Well, that's very exciting. Where are they buying their land? Well, we're in a very cold environment right now. Is it cold in Sedona?
Yeah, it's pretty cold. It's about 30 degrees right now.
Yeah, that's what it is here. Oh, heavens.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets cold here. We're up in the mountains. You know, I mean, they're not huge mountains. We're at about 4,500 feet.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably snowing up in Flagstaff. But, yeah, well, what I've heard from quite a few people is there's three different communities around Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, towards Payson and such to the east, you know, all, you know, kind of in mountainous areas. I've heard of a couple in Pennsylvania. A couple people in the Washington, D.C. area have been talking about going down to Costa Rica or Panama.
Mm-hmm.
I've got other people talking about Alaska, other people talking about Washington.
And are they all doing your kind of work, quantum vortex work?
No, they're not doing that. They're just forming communities.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only, Madeline and I are the only ones that I know of that are actually traveling around with this stuff. Because most people, when they get Fred Bell's stuff, they don't share it. They put it in a little room, it's all stationary, and they only allow themselves and the people that they know they can trust to come in and use it because
mm-hmm.
they kind of want to have an edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want everybody to know that they're using something that manifests and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But I think there's more to it than that, because I've noticed a change in the vortex myself. It doesn't work the way that it did when I first got it.
Why not? Like, can you explain what that is? I don't even know his equipment except that time we talked to you.
Yeah, well, it's scalar energy field, which can be used for bad or good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's energy. It's like electricity. You can kill somebody with it, or you can cook with it, you know, or warm your home with it or whatever, you know, or you know, do any kind of surgery with it, you know. So it kind of depends.
Do you have a machine, or you use the, what's it called, the necklace and so on?
Oh, yeah, the projectors.
Right.
Yeah, they're actually kind of like sculptural. You know, they just sit there, and then we hit them with lasers. And I started combining them with sacred geometry and a couple other things, and that's when I started really noticing a difference.
Do you mean you have actually physical constructions of sacred geometries and so on?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm working with a bunch of different things. And, you know, experimenting because I'm curious. You know, inquiring minds want to know. And so there I am, you know, trying to figure out, okay, what's going to be something that's going to be different enough to catch my attention that is repeatable? Because as a scientist, you know, the biggest thing with science is it has to be reproducible.
Mm-hmm.
And other people that do it have to get the same effects. So I figured out how to do a couple things with it with manifestation. But what I've seen in the last 3 years since I've had these things is that the manifestation has changed. Now, I don't know if that's due to my change, or if it's due to just the overall change of, you know, what I've added to it, or if it's the overall field change.
Is it change in an amplification way, or is it change in a... Is it weaker, stronger, sharper?
I think it's weaker as far as what I originally had.
Oh, all
you
right.
know, that's weaker.
Hmm.
And so I started adding things to it, because after the first year I started noticing there was a decline in the field, and I went, huh, that's really interesting.
Hmm.
Well, what's going on with that? So then I started adding other things. And as I added the other things, it took me in a whole different direction.
Hmm. What did
yeah.
you add?
I added,
can I ask you that?
I added sacred geometry.
Is this your secret sauce?
It's my secrets. And I started adding different colored lasers. Now, the lasers, you know, they've been experimenting with those. And if you go onto my website and onto the Quantum Vortex Gathering page, you know, we've got some pictures of some really interesting light forms and things. And also, if you go to myspace.com/quantumvortex, then you'll see some really fascinating pictures. But basically, what I've noticed is that the field has changed such that before it used to be, for instance, you wanted something material.
Mm-hmm.
And say you wanted to have a new car. Now, a lot of people that came in and did the study got a new car. They got whatever it is that they asked for, and it was straight, and it was very cut and dried, and, you know, here's the car I want, boom, here it is. Now, either they got a great deal on it and they could afford it, or somebody wanted to buy something they had, or they got a raise, or, you know, whatever. And I always tell people, don't limit how you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to figure out how you're going to get it. All you have to do is decide what you really want. And if it's at all in alignment with your path, you'll get it very quickly. If it's not in alignment with the path, then my suggestion to people is always to say in the way most appropriate, so you don't generate any karma with it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've noticed, though, is that it hasn't been as easy to do it that way. But things have happened in a much better way, because now the energy that goes out to get whatever it is that you want comes back and brings what you want, but it also helps to change you in profound ways, so that you move more in alignment with your path. And I don't know if that's an effect of the way I'm having people ask for things now, or if it's just that the energy has changed that much and we're getting more light now. You know, I'm not sure about that. I'd have to run a whole lot of experiments to figure that one out.
I think there's something here. It is kind of interesting about, for example, your body.
Mm-hmm.
And your body is manifesting, is using this kind of equipment. But because the energy is moving through, it's changing your body a lot.
Mm.
So it's not just a consistent thing that's external. It's also in rapport with you. That's
well, that would make sense.
Yeah, and it's actually very exciting because
yeah.
ultimately you yourself, and this is probably the selfish part of being a healer I find in my own life, that we get so much benefit from the work we're doing for other people.
Well, yeah, that's the way it's been set up.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's awesome. We get to have so much fun.
And eventually it's like everything we do goes round through us, and that, of course, changes the collective radically, not just from us, but from all the beings that are going to work like that. But actually, when I see you, I just sort of watch the the people and the changing dynamics mm-hmm. of the healing, and it will always change. It will never be consistent. It's not, it's only reproducible to a point, but it has a really sort of a graduated change, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are going to have a huge wave of change. Because
yeah.
they're changing the people that hold the machine or whatever.
Yeah, well, whoever goes into the beam.
Yeah, it's very exciting, actually.
Yeah, it's very interesting. In fact, when I was doing some work this afternoon, what I realized was the lasers had kind of gotten off, you mm. know, because I do different patterns with the lasers. And I like to have them all focused on one point because I love making a pyramid of light.
Mm.
And so I always make sure that I have four lasers making a pyramid. And I looked at it, and they were all in a line, and I went, okay, now that's kind of odd. How did that happen? Because nobody had touched anything. And I thought, you know, maybe it had to be that way because of what the person was going through. And something in me just made me notice that at the last minute, you know, about more than halfway through the session, and I went, huh, I think I need to change that. It really, it feels like the energy needs to be upped. And so I went around and I readjusted the lasers and got them all focused on one single point, which was, it's difficult to do, you know, but.
Oh, it is.
But I did it.
Hmm.
And instantly I felt the wave of change that happened. And when we got done, the patient said, oh my God, I'm like electrified. I'm vibrating. And we all just grinned and said, good. Because now you feel
alive.
Yeah, we like that. It shows that you have life in every tissue in your body.
Okay.
Now, the light is an integral part of that. And so, you know, people can go out and buy lasers and they can do this themselves, you know, and it's not all that expensive. But when it comes to setting up, you know, the scalar field and getting a zero-point field, that's a little bit different matter. That is a little more expensive.
How did you learn that?
I just, you know, just kind of had those things coming to me. You know how that works.
Yes,
you know,
do.
You kind of get a thought that comes to you from your guidance team and you go, oh, I wonder how that works. And then you just start kind of, you know, surfing around. And one of the things I found, when you're surfing on the Internet, because there was an artificial intelligence that accidentally got loose on the Internet many years ago,
mm-hmm.
you can actually come up with different things when you search than anybody else will, even if you use the same phrases.
Hmm.
So, like, when I go search, if I put in quantum physics, I find the most incredible things that just have me going, wow! When my friend and assistant Madeline puts in quantum physics, she gets a couple things. When somebody else puts in quantum physics, they get like the grade level explanation of quantum physics. And I thought, no, isn't that interesting? And I had wondered about that, and then one of my friends, his physicist, said, oh yeah. He said, you know, we had an artificial intelligence and somebody accidentally let it loose in the Internet. And once it gets to know you, it will go search out and find what you're interested in. How's
wow.
that for scary?
Well, you know, I'm thinking that there's a relationship between the way the machine or the lasers and the, what do you call them, Fred Bell's?
Projectors.
Yes. And all of that and you and your changes. It's kind of like that, isn't it? It's the
mm-hmm.
intelligence of your energy.
Exactly. What we're doing is we're all coming together. Not just us as humans. But us as spiritual beings, we're coming together with so many other spiritual beings. And
with so many levels of our own consciousness that we haven't even accessed yet.
Exactly. And the thing is that every little thing that we have, you know, whether it's a pen or a pair of scissors or a vase or a stone or a tea kettle, no matter what it is, everything has life. And
mm-hmm.
everything has an intelligence in it. As much as people would not like to believe that, it is true. And it's true because of the fact that everything is made up of the substance of God. And, you know, whatever you want to call it, prime source, you know, creator, whatever. But everything is made up of that. Everything has its own innate intelligence. And I used to watch that happen when I was a secretary years ago. I worked for this guy who was really nasty. And I was just a temporary secretary. But, you know, I would come in and nothing worked right. Every machine in the place went haywire. And he would be screaming and hollering the whole day. He was such an unpleasant individual. And one day he had to go off to a meeting. And he said, well, I'm sure everything's going to break down when I leave. And it's going to be terrible and you're not going to get any work done. I'm going to pay for you to sit on your butt and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, I'll do the best I can. And so he left. Not a thing broke down.
Wonderful.
Everything was sailing smooth. And he called me up and he said, well, what's broken down? I said, nothing. He said, what? He said, stop lying to me. Just tell me what's broken down today. And I said, not a thing. And he didn't believe me. He was so angry. And, you know, the minute he walked back in the door, everything broke down. So, you know, it's a long time ago I saw this kind of stuff happening, and I thought, wow, isn't that really interesting? Because these supposed inanimate objects are responding to this guy's belief system. And I think right now it's vitally important for every person out there to kind of pay attention to your belief systems.
Well, yes, your whole vibrational output. I had a friend who was pregnant, and she was in the hospital, and she kept having seizures. It was really a tricky time for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in to see her, and because I was in town, I happened to be going through town where she was in the hospital, and she just loved me. She was a young woman, and I walked in, and they were doing an electroencephalogram,
mm-hmm.
EEC.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was there with her, the machine just went crazy.
Oh, wow.
So they finally asked me to leave. You know, and other people said that's not possible, but it was possible. But not only that, it helped her a lot. It calmed her brain down and made her laugh. And we still chuckle about it to this day. But the doctors were horrified. Get out of here. I don't know what you're doing, but get out of here. I was standing
yeah.
there being peaceful, actually, doing a little soothing energy with her, you know.
Well, right. And that really does that does work as a healer. One of the things I've told
I think it was a competitive machine.
Well, now that could be. It's going, oh, you think you can do that? Well, I'll do better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, they have intelligence. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've blown up a computer, and it was because my healing energy had increased, and I hadn't quite gotten a handle on it. Now, I haven't had that happen for a couple years now, but that used to happen every time I took a jump. I couldn't get near a computer because I just crashed the computer every time.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
So what do you do now, kind of talk to your computer and kind of sit there?
Well, mostly I tell this computer that it's an idiot, but...
Well, nobody would cry.
I tell it you're very pretty, but you're not very smart. Compared to my Mac, you know, I prefer the Mac, but, you know, we deal with what we have to. But it's way smarter and more efficient than most of the computers I've seen out there, so I guess I can't complain.
But I think it's really interesting when we talk about machines and how we do have that interaction and that impact on them. I think we need to know that kind of power
mm-hmm.
and the ability to retrain ourselves to actually use that.
Yeah, and there's a couple other things, too. Like, you know, there's the ancient native American prophecy for 2012.
Mm-hmm.
One of the prophecies is, and they were talking more turn of the century, but you know, 12 years isn't that far removed from it. But they would say that at a certain time, about every 1,000 years or so, what would happen is everything that was made by man would attack man on this certain day.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah. And I thought, no, isn't that interesting? Because they didn't have machines and such that we have. They had, like, their mortars and pestles that they made, their grinding stones, their teepees. You know, they had things like that. They had their, you know, rudimentary tools. But they said that, you know, on that fateful time, actually I think it was the 3 days, and I'm thinking it has to do with the photon thing. You know, like, people have been talking for years that we're in the photon belt, and when we get to the peak point, that there's 3 days that are going to be literal hell on Earth, you know.
Well,
and you
I can remember Drunvalo saying that was around 98 or something,
mm-hmm.
right? Of course, they never know the dates, right?
Right, they never know the dates.
Mm-hmm.
But what they say, though, is that everyone is supposed to go inside, close the curtains, and basically hide under your bed and cover your ears because the sounds that you're going to hear are going to be absolutely terrifying, and a lot of people would die from fright. And I thought, no, isn't that interesting? Because we live in this mechanized world.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if it's really people's belief systems that would cause that kind of thing to happen, and really, you know, things would just kind of go crazy and not work the way they're supposed to? Or is it that we've lost the magnetics, and, you know, if the Earth stops, then things start flying around because there's no more gravity?
Right.
You know, so there's all these things that kind of go through the collective consciousness, and you feel the fear at different times, you know, when people pick that up. So my point to everybody is don't worry about it. You know, instead of being in fear about what could happen, you know, that old saying, you know, a coward dies a thousand deaths and a brave man only one. You know, and I've remembered that one for a long time, you know, and it's basically just don't worry about it. Go through and do your life, you know, live in the now.
But I'll tell you something else that is occurring to me while you're talking is that when we interact with machines and really harmonize with them, you know, that's one thing. But I think if we're going to be separate from them, and which we're finding out about that with people as well,
mm-hmm.
if we're separate from the collective and we're separate from the machines, they might flip out and,
mm-hmm.
and echo back our own frustration with them in
mm-hmm.
en masse. I mean, that sort of makes sense to me energetically. But
yeah.
we can do something about that. We did something about Y2K, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's important for people to really work on their belief systems and really start to really...
And their evolution, which
yeah.
is the same thing. But
yeah. Evolve, yeah. damn it.
Well, we want to be multidimensional. We want yeah. access to those higher dimensions and where you're bringing in the energy from and where we're reflecting it from, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Because it impacts everything.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know what we're going to. I kind of have an idea, you know, because I've come out of body several times and gone to this really incredible realm where there's nothing like we know here. It's a realm of just light and sound, and it's incredible. And, you know, what if we're going to that? What if these bodies completely disappear? And, you know, what if we become like the electrons in a computer? You know, that'd be weird. You know,
I'm going to say to you, I'm not sure I want to be an electron in a computer.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe we are. We just don't know it. Maybe we're in the matrix.
Well, actually, I think you're right that there is a possibility we could be moving into a totally different form. I think about
mm-hmm.
that sometimes.
You know, I was reading something in my email. Somebody sent me something from a doctor that's in Mount Shasta,
mm-hmm.
and the name escapes me at the moment. But something about how they now have proof that many children have three strands of DNA. And I've had people write to me and ask me about that, and I have not seen any evidence of anybody having three strands of DNA. We would normally call that a fatal mutation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I'm saying it can't be, but I'm wondering, is that really the truth? Because so many things get passed around as being absolute truth, and they're not. So my question is always, okay, if there really is somebody that has three strands of DNA,
will they please call in?
Yeah, please call in, because I would like to see some proof of that. And I keep telling people, you know, as a doctor, I can't go out there and say, oh, yeah, everybody's, you know, getting three strands of DNA, and we're supposed to have 12. It's like, okay, I don't know where that came from. And by three strands, I mean the three double helixes. You can't go with just three strands. You know, that would absolutely be fatal. But you can go with, you know, six strands, which is three spirals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering, is that really what we're moving into? And I know I read on the internet that there's some guy who has been checked, who has the triple DNA. But I wonder.
So what's he like?
Well, they say that he performs miracles and that he can walk on water, and you know, he's telepathic and telekinetic and all this other kind of stuff, and he does healings. And gosh, I wish I could remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
But lost all that stuff in a computer crash. Yeah. Hence my vision of PCs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting, because if that is really happening, and if we are truly going to a silicon-based body, then nothing that we've known is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will be completely different. We won't even be able to eat the same. Which is probably a good thing, because they're changing our food now. You know, now they've decided in their infinite idiocy that it's okay for us to have cloned animals.
Yeah, so we're going to have to mutate to get beyond our need for all that.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm very interested in all that. And you know, before it gets too much later, I want to let the listeners know, if you want to call in and ask Veronica a question, she is a medical intuitive. So please do call in, and we'd be happy to help you out. Yeah, and see what we can do.
I'm enjoying chatting with you, Valerie.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, too. I just don't want people to miss out.
That's
what
nice.
I find with so many of my listeners is they get so fascinated by where the conversation's going that they
forget
call
to call
in. And they're like, darn, I really wanted to call in and talk to your guest.
Well, I believe it's a very wonderful time, because we have all these prophecies that keep us sort of perched toward 2012. But we really don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
And I really love the idea that we're evolving so much that we could be in a different form.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to happen that fast.
I don't think it's going to happen that fast either. That's not the way evolution usually goes. We would have to have a huge boost from somebody that would cause that to happen. And that could happen because we are a collection of atoms, you know, making up these molecules that create what we're used to.
Well, what do they say that what used to take about a million years now takes 360 days in terms of vibrational shifting and the impact it has on us?
Yeah.
And when I was interviewing someone, it was Dr. Kalaman, all about 2012, and I finally said, well, what's going to happen? And they said it's going to go 20 times faster by 2011.
Wow.
So it's like we're going to be in almost, to me, I just thought, well, it's almost like a tube to consciousness, to multidimensionality then,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Like a wormhole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like it just seems so graphically possible that we're going to live an entirely different life. And then I laugh and go, is it going to be like Y2K?
No. Oh, I hope not. That would be so disappointing.
I know. So what do we do to prepare? And you're talking about the change, the fact that the way you do these amazing quantum vortex things has to keep changing and has to keep evolving.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it, isn't it? Like nothing can
yeah.
be static. Nothing can be the same.
Yeah, exactly. And I see a big difference between the Piscean age and this Aquarian age. And, you know, and I had a teacher who was definitely in the Piscean age, but, I mean, he was incredible. But he kept saying, you know, that many of the people who are stuck in the Piscean age are really going to have to leave because, you know, their time is up, and if they can't make that shift into the newer consciousness, then they're just not going to make it. And, you know, like one of the things I've noticed is the whole Piscean age is very much rooted in ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, this is the way you do it, and it's all, you know, it's a hard line, you know. You have to do this and you have to do that, and the Masonic temple is one, you know, good example of that, you know. And I've talked to several 33rd degree Masons that have been threatened. I mean, literally have been put in a situation where it would have been very easy to die, and that's one of their graduation things, you know.
Is that, death?
Yeah, they get put in life threatening situations, you know, anywhere from being forcibly bitten with a poisonous snake and left out in the middle of nowhere to die, to being thrown into a deep pit filled with water and no way out, to you know, being buried alive, you know, with dirt. I mean, just crazy stuff.
And these are rituals to advance their consciousness, to
yes.
move them out of the limitation.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, but it's very interesting because they very much still believe in ritual,
mm-hmm.
and I don't. And I haven't for a long time. And so I just kind of look at all that and I go, you know, I know that it doesn't have to be that difficult. Because all of the miraculous things that I've been through in my life haven't involved any ritual.
But it has involved death.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that was, you know, because I was a little adventurous.
Didn't I hear, I was listening to some of the archives and I think I heard you say you had 6 near death?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot, and
but when you make a comparison, I mean, that's what kind of smashes open some of the sensors that can hold the multidimensional, right?
Right.
And isn't that what they're doing in these kinds of rituals?
Sure.
Stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, but it seems like such an antiquated method, and I didn't really realize what was going on until I started thinking back about the whole Piscean age and how restrictive it has been, and the Aquarian age is so much more about the collective. And about really moving into the miracles of nature and having that be part of our nature and not having to strive so hard to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see this all as a natural progression, you know, and I look at the astrology of it and go, that's really interesting because we did make a definite shift out of that age. And I can see the people who are of that age, I can see them really having a lot of problems and they're getting very angry and you know, nothing's working the way it was supposed to, and they thought they were high and mighty and had it all figured out, when in reality, you know, the age left. You know, we've moved on.
But they had those, the rules and rituals and Masonic stuff was actually a pivotal control device
mm-hmm.
for that entire. So what do you think about the Illuminati and all that we've been hearing lately they're kind of crumbling apart.
Well, you know, I think that their plan has not crumbled apart. I mean, it's come to perfect fruition, and I've been warning about this stuff for over 30 years, and everybody thought I was nuts, you know. And now
you're always nuts when you step out of the collective.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I've seen this stuff coming, and I've told people, look, this is what's happening, and you know, you need to be aware of this and take steps to stop it. And everybody went, oh, ha ha, you're just crazy. Okay.
What is it? Stop what?
Oh, just, you know, stop the people from doing the things that they've done. I mean, and it started a long time ago, you know, probably 2,000 years ago or so. But, you know, they've been slowly moving everybody into this massive control state and the mind control and the poisoning of our air and our water and our food. Now, all this stuff, this has been orchestrated over a long time. And if you look at our political parties, you have no choice.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, I mean, look at all the lies that were told about Ron Paul. The man raised $6 million. In less than 48 hours, that tells you that the people are behind him, and yet they show him as having, you know, hardly anybody voting for him at all. It's a total lie. And if you go look at the figures, you know, he's up there above everybody else. Hmm. But yet the news is reporting him as being, oh, barely even there. And
More and more people understanding that gap?
Well, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, because, I mean, I talk to a lot of people that are pretty thick-headed sometimes, you know, and I just look at them and go, oh, my God, at least go find it out. So, I mean, there's all these things that are going along. And
so you don't think the Illuminati is coming apart?
I think they will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're coming apart, no. I don't think they've come to full fruition yet. They're about to, and that's going to be truly horrifying. But I think, you know, in the end, they will fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think they will, but I know that that's really what's going to happen because I've seen it. But I think in the meantime, you know, we've got a lot of things to deal with. And the reason that this stuff is coming on the way it is to wake people up.
Mm-hmm.
And to get people to get to that point where they go, oh, I don't want to play this game. You know, I want to make it different. I want to live in a different world than this.
I believe the potential for living in a different world is there. What do you think about that?
I totally agree.
Yeah. And so what do we tell people about how to do that? Is individuate, authenticate, being your integrity, pay attention to questions and choices?
Yeah, that's a start. You know, I think what they have to do is they have to go within. I keep telling people, you know, you don't have to run around and go seek out, you know, this teacher and that teacher and, you know, and go through all these courses because there's hardly any time left. So now it's more like just go within because the answers are all there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just earnestly ask for your guidance team, your highest self, to open your consciousness more to the truth and really be steadfast in searching for the truth and really moving into that. And as you move into the truth of who you really are, then all this other stuff just falls away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what it's going to take to get people.
Then we're not blinded and
yeah. Because I mean the stuff that I know. I mean certainly I've done a lot of study and everything else and had some incredible teachers through my life, but really most of what I've found, as far as what's going on, I've already known. You know, and I don't know how I know it. I just know it, and then I'll find something out and I'll go, wow, you know, I intuited that, I knew that's what was going on. And then I find the proof. And I think that it's not just me. It's not that I'm so special. I think everybody has that ability, but they ignore it.
So your process when you travel around and do your quantum vortex things is to wake people up?
Yeah, that's all it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tell them, you don't have to go out and spend the money that I did to put this thing together. What you need to do is go find yourself, find the truth of who you are within.
Mm-hmm.
And this just helps to jumpstart it. I mean, there's lots of ways to jumpstart. I mean, you can go have a life-threatening experience if that's what you need,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, and I'd be the last person to try to stop anybody from doing whatever it is that they need. But there's, you know,
but it's kinder. Moving faster, so people who are really sort of geared up to go inside and really authenticate, it is moving faster. You bang into more people like yourself, and there is a wave of change going on.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding people are hungry. They're so hungry
mm-hmm.
for the information, and they're so lost. They just kind of don't know what to do, which way to turn, and you know, they feel the fear and everything else. And I
well, it's so overwhelming, is it not? I mean,
yeah.
you get blasted by the news, and don't know what to believe unless you can really sit with yourself.
Right, you have to sit with yourself. Like, you know, one of the things I found is a lot more people are choosing to leave the planet, too.
Yes, that's true, eh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure you feel it a lot of times. You probably go to the grocery store and feel, you know, all the people there that are going, you know, just give me something, I'll get out of here.
Yeah, or the dead look in the people that are wandering around, too. It's pretty scary sometimes, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, can you turn off the whole medical intuitive thing when you go out in the world?
Yes.
Or, see, that
I've
helps.
Taught myself to click before I'd let myself do this professionally.
Uh-huh.
I've taught myself to click it off. Mostly because I was awash in it years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know. But it's very exciting, isn't it, to watch when you go out there and just watch and see that some people are just glowing and other people are just dying right there in front of you.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I've talked about it on my show before. I mean, I've had times where I, you know, been by myself bopping around the house, having a great time, you know, creating and just really enjoying myself. And I'll go down to the grocery store because I'll realize it's lunchtime and I don't have anything to eat, you know, or nothing that I want to eat at the time. So I go down to the grocery
store.
Chocolate. Yeah, that's it. And I'll walk into the door, and I can't tell you how many times this has happened where everybody in the whole store, all the way to the back, anybody who was in my line of sight stopped dead in their tracks and turned and looked right at me.
Hmm.
I mean, you talk about feeling weird. And you
how do you explain it? Because I think it's just your light.
Yeah, and you know, I'll look at them, and they're all haggard and drawn, and you know, they have no life in them. And I know it's because of the mind control stuff and the chemtrails and all that, and they're more effective than I am because I've got all my protections up, you know. But it's interesting to watch them. And, I mean, when that happens, I always find myself freezing, like, you know, it's the deer in the headlights look, you know, and you kind of go, should I run? Because, I mean, it's like they're pod people. I mean, if just imagine, everybody in the whole store stops dead in their tracks all at once and then turns and looks at you. I mean, that'd creep you out, right?
When you said pod people, were you thinking of Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yeah, really.
And they go, ah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've caught myself, you know, freezing and looking at people and going, man, should I, like, walk in? And then I realized after a while that what was happening was they were looking at me because I wasn't like them.
Yeah, and also because you've got this frequency coming off you, this light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It does. That always tweaks people in a sense of some people want it, but they have to be awake to want it.
Right, and they don't know they want it. So what I do is I just practice love.
Yeah, or so, they might feel a little bit more negative because, you know, because it brings it up. The light brings up the shadow. So people feel a little bit crappy at first when you come in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I find if I walk through the aisles and I look into the eyes of each person and I smile at them, and it doesn't matter what I say, because what I'm really saying with my heart is, I love you. I see that you're not having a good day. And, you know, here, let's share a little light.
Great.
And when I do that, it's like the switch goes on.
Mm.
You know, all of a sudden they brighten up and they start to look alive. The color comes back into their faces and the eyes are no longer dead. And all it takes is that little split second of recognition. And I really feel like that's one of the missions that all of us that work in the light have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to boost not only each other that we know are working in the light, but also every person that we come across that we notice is really starving for the light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just takes that little second. You don't have to, you know, lay down and let them walk on you. You don't have to.
I think of it as like being like Tinkerbell.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like that. And you know, all you have to do is just let that light flow through you just for that short little second or two. Just a look and a smile is enough to really light people's fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so necessary, and especially with all the crap that's been thrown at us, it's so incredibly necessary. And, you know, I mean, I've seen this stuff with the Illuminati coming for a long time, and I have a friend who says, well, I'm Illuminati, and I'm like, you know, don't tell me that, because my belief system is like, ooh, bad guy, you know, go away from me. And he's not a bad guy, you know, so I mean,
so why would he say that?
Well, he just... he likes to tweak my brain, you know, but he is Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
And, he, you know, he says, oh, I'm OTO and, you know, 33rd degree Mason and blah, 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 and you know, and a magician and an alchemist. And But he's a great guy, you know, and he's not faking it. He's real. And I kind of look at him and I go, okay, that does tweak my brain, because everything I've learned about Illuminati is that they are the evil upon the planet. And
well, they're the control guys.
Yeah, they're the guys that are trying to control everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at all that and I go, okay, how can I deal with this? Because this guy is my friend.
Right.
And what I realized was, it, like in anything else, there's good people and bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
I like thinking of the good old bell curve.
Yeah. And so I looked at that and I went, huh, isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
And so I listened to what he has to say, because there's a lot of wisdom there. And I also pick up, you know, things that I've read through the years and heard from other people. And I mean, my late teacher, Torkum, would not even mention their name.
Hmm.
He said, you do not want to talk about them
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't even think that, because they'll hear you. And I said, I don't care. Let them pull up a chair, because I have something to say to them.
But it's back to the old thing about creating by using clear words and making an affirmation of them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It really is, and you know, it's the whole where your attention goes, energy flows.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give them any energy.
Right.
And so my way of thinking is, you know, and I've been saying this for over a year now, you know, people are complaining about the government and this and that and the other, and I go, well, you know what? In Valerie's world, the government no longer exists, and the control freaks no longer exist, and you know what? I'm powerful enough to make sure that that happens. And no, I'm not delusional. I'm just going to be in another spot. So the way I look at it is, some of us are going to be able to go to another dimension and go up a level or, you know, or whatever. And the people that have not woken up are going to be in that other world with the control freaks and all this other kind of stuff. And the rest of us are going, no, I'm not going to play that. Sounds like we have a caller. Who's on the line?
I think we have to go.
Oh, we have to go?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How can that be?
It's been fun, though.
Oh, yes, it has.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Veronica. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Dr. Olmsted.
And we'll have to do this again.
I'd love to do it again.
All right. Wow, time flew.
All right.
All right. Thanks, listeners, for listening in. As always, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are.
And many blessings.